Welcome in on this Sunday morning, Amy King, curator of the Tulare County Museum and director of all things at the museum. And Amy, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
One thing that when I moved here, I started looking around for different things to go and see myself and to take people when they come to visit. And I stumbled upon the Tulare County Museum this Christmas and got a chance to go and spend a couple of hours there. And it wasn't enough time.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a great museum that I feel that a lot of people don't even really know it's there, and it's in Mooney Grove Park.
Yeah, you're right. We do get several people a week that will come in and let us know that they've lived here for 60 years mm-hmm. and they didn't even know that the museum was here. So we do appreciate you having us out here because we are trying to bring awareness to that. And that museum started in 1948 as one gallery, and that wow. original building has expanded to five galleries, and then now there's a whole pioneer village with nine other buildings like schoolhouses, old residences, a log cabin, Visalia's first jail, and then our newest addition is the Farm Labor and Agriculture Museum, and that was finished in 2009, so that's already about
It's 11 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And when I went out and explored this, I had no idea that it was built in the 40s. And Mooney Grove Park has been there since the early 1900s, I believe, right?
Yeah, that was the first county park in California, and that was established in 1909, or given to the county in 1909.
The history of Tulare County is amazing. I get these itches and urges when I drive around the county and I drive through the little towns and I think, I wonder what the story is about this. And I happened to be driving back from Los Angeles one day and I thought, I wonder how Tulare got the name Tulare, or Tulare County got the name Tulare County. And then I researched and it's all because of a weed. You know, and,
yeah.
and they're one of the biggest Great Lakes in the country was right here in Kern, Tulare County.
Right.
It's so interesting to think that. And then I went into the museum and I saw that there's a home from the early 1900s or late 1800s on site.
Right. We have two of the residences from Tulare County from the late 1800s, and then also two schoolhouses from about that same time.
It's absolutely amazing because, A, there's stories in, throughout the entire museum about the items that are there. And being the director of some of these items, how do you guys go about the history of the homes and the schools? How do you find the history of all that?
Well, you know, we work really closely with the Tulare County Library, the Annie Mitchell History Room. They have so much information, and anytime that I'm looking for something, I will reach out to them. They are so helpful, and it's so important to tell those stories because all of our history is local history, and so, you know, for our surprise schoolhouse that was from the Woodville-Tulare area, many of the visitors that come through actually attended that school.
Oh,
and
wow.
then in 2017, they put together a whole reunion. So we had a bunch of people that attended that school that got to come out and visit with each other inside that school. So it's just so neat. And I think that that's what our museum really has to offer, is that since it is local history, it's like our community's history, and everybody can connect with some part of what is there at the museum. And so it's just so important for us to share that with our community.
When you walk into the museum, you get this feeling of, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, this is my grandparents or great grandparents' ages coming through here. Of, you know, you have military apparel, you have mm-hmm. the life and amusement that people would do with toys and games mm-hmm. throughout the entire museum. And how far back does the history in the museum go? What's the oldest artifact or item in the museum?
That would probably be our Native American basket collection. We have one of the largest collections in the state, and we're just so honored to even house that there. And that's definitely one of the oldest things. A lot of the history that we have is probably late 1800s, early 1900s, aside from that. probably our earliest dating exhibits that we do is our cultural exhibits, and that's a rotating series that we do in that Farm Labor and Agriculture Museum. Mm-hmm. So each year we feature a different cultural group and their contributions to agriculture in Tulare County. So we just did a exhibit on the Korean culture, and gosh, that was just so amazing to every time I do those exhibits, I learn so much more. And yeah, it's so great to work with the community, because those are really the exhibits that give that ownership to the community of the museum, because everything that we have on display there are people's family photos, their histories, their items that they loaned to us for that exhibit. And that Korean exhibit got a lot of exposure. We had three different groups of people come from Jeju Island, which is, I believe, part of South Korea. They came here to see that. And then a group did a documentary that included that exhibit. So,
that's so sweet.
Our local history is part of a larger history that right. is important on just so many different levels. And that is really great to see, too, that it expands beyond our community.
I got to see the Korean exhibit. And it is. It's jaw-dropping, because you don't think of, you know, you hear about Chinatown and you hear about Koreantown here or there, but you don't think it affects here, but it really did.
Yeah, and those cultural exhibits are also different in that a lot of people learn even more about their own history and our own local history, because so many people don't know that there was a large Croatian population that contributed to agriculture. We've done exhibits on the Italian cultures, Portuguese. I mean, just there's so much out there to learn, and they're always just a great way for the museum to connect with our community and on a larger scale.
Other than bringing the history of Tulare County to people that come don't even know it's there, what other benefits does the museum bring to Tulare County? I mean, obviously, tourism money has come in from these different troops or trips that have come through.
Yeah, I think that it's really a hidden gem. I mean, there's so much there for people to learn about. And as we work to kind of bring awareness to that, we're trying to do more events at the museum so that we can welcome more people. And we're trying to engage different, you know, different audiences. So we have a annual event, our Main Street Jamboree that we do every year, that's for families.
And that's coming up in April?
That is going to be Saturday, April 25th from 10 to 3. And there's food trucks, there's live music, there's activities, there's hay rides, there's going to be a vintage car show. There's just so much for people to do, and it's free other than the entrance to the park. The museum event, though, is free, and we try to do, you know, as many of those as we can, just to get people out there and learning more about our history in a fun way.
And when people come out for that, you say it's free, but you can also donate anytime you come out to the park. If the park is charging to enter, that's all you have to pay on any given day.
Right. Yeah. The park does charge an entrance fee of $6 per vehicle. That's only March through October, and that does include the entrance to the museum. So that's all that you would have to pay.
And then if you want to go over that and donate, obviously donations always taken, because it takes a lot of money to keep all of this stuff running at Mooney Grove Park.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we do depend heavily on donations from people for our larger projects. The Tulare County Historical Society has just been so awesome to work with, and we would not have, you know, what we do now without them. They are just such a great group, and each year I work with them to do our annual fundraiser, and we pick a specific project for that each year. So we've already done restoration projects on our clock tower, the Southern Pacific caboose that was used on the Visalia Electric Railroad, our Masonic doors, and our Main Street Gallery. And so right now we're working to raise money. If you've been to the museum, you probably saw we have a lot of agriculture equipment out there. And so we have been working with our local high schools and their ag mechanics classes. And a lot of them have agreed to help us by you know, spending their school year restoring a piece of that equipment for us.
Oh, that's great.
And so we are raising money so that we can help. We're going to buy supplies for them, whatever they need to help us restore those. And then we're looking at long-term building a whole new building over by that big red barn, our Farm Labor and Agriculture Museum, that can house all of that equipment when it comes back to us restored. So it's a huge project, mm-hmm. and we've spent several years already trying to raise money for that. But it's just so important, and another way to involve the schools in the history. They have done such a great job. Some of the teachers take it even further and have them do presentations and research the equipment. And we got to go to Mount Whitney High School and see their presentations and ask the kids questions. And they were just so excited about it.
That is great.
And it has been an awesome project, and we hope to continue to do it each year and even involve more schools.
Which another great way that that the museum is given back to the community by offering the opportunity for students to be part of it.
Exactly, yeah. And then they, you know, their name is going to be on a sign forever as them having helped us, and they're part of our history now. And it's just, that's been really great part of that project.
There is a part of the museum, and you talked about the ag part, where if people don't believe that all of our jobs depend on ag, they need to go to the museum and see that our jobs have depended on ag for a long time. Mm-hmm. And some of the equipment that you have out there, I grew up in the Midwest, so when we were visiting the museum, I saw some things that I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw things that my grandfather had on his farm in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So to know that items like that are here, I mean, it took me right back to my childhood, where I know a lot of farmers and families of farmers now, if they go and they look at the ag equipment that's there, they're automatically going to go back to their childhood. And that's one of the great parts about the museum.
Yeah, it's been neat to see the older generations with their younger generations come, and I can hear them talking to, you know, their kids or grandkids about how they used to use that equipment, or their parents used to use that equipment. And gosh, we have so much out there, and I don't even know what some of that stuff is. I depend on the Historical Society. They have been so great in helping to identify what those are, so we can mm-hmm. have a sign and explain to people what they are, what they're used for, and how they're important in agriculture, because that has been a large part of our history.
Now, and that's another good point, is the fact that everything is labeled, so you don't question what it is, because mm-hmm. it literally is labeled.
Yeah, that's something that we've worked to do throughout the entire museum. It's a big job, and so we want to make sure that you know what you're looking at. And then another way that we want to even take that further is to in the future be able to put even QR codes on something. So if you wanted to see more photos or get more information, you can just scan with your phone. So we're working on doing something like that that can maybe be incorporated into an audio tour. Since we do have a pretty small staff there, we don't always have somebody on hand to take people around or give tours. We're always there to answer questions mm-hmm. and help. But we would just like to create an even deeper experience for people when they're going through. And we do have that information, but it's hard because you don't want to put 10 pages, you know, I don't know that anyone might stand there and read, but some people do want to get further information or other pictures. And so that's something that we're working towards in the future.
What are some of the displays right now that are there? We saw one of the interesting things, we talked about the Native American mm-hmm. display that is up, and how the trading of rocks and pebbles and whatever they used to mm-hmm. swap out for things, they went to the desert. So what we had here, they didn't have in the desert. Mm-hmm. And it's a great display that starts right there. So the entire history of Tulare County starts there. But what are some of the main displays right now, and how often do you change out the displays?
Sure. So in the in our original building there that has the five galleries, we always have our baskets on display. We do change those out. We're working right now to reinstall our gun and saddle room. And so that's going to have our Visalia saddle. We also have a saddle from Ernest Britton, who was the first park ranger in Sequoia National Park. Oh. And so we're working on putting that back together. Those are kind of permanent exhibits that will just change out items every now and again. We also have a display on the Visalia Electric Railroad, our military display, and then something that is really neat is our Sequoia Field display, where a lot of the World War II pilots were trained right here. And so we have model airplanes and some information about that, and we're looking to expand that exhibit coming up. And then we've got a whole bunch of Pioneer, just old cameras. There's an exhibit on the courthouse, clothes and shoes, just so that people can see how different our things are today from back then.
And musical items as well. I'm being, this is radio. I mean, I walked into the second room and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the pianos. And there was a banjo and there's all kinds of musical instruments. I believe there was even an old time radio set up in some parts of the museum.
Yeah, that's been a great display too. And we recently had two of our pianos tuned. And so a local music school for one of our events came out and did little 10-minute lessons with people. So they got to play those pianos. And so it's been really great to have them used and, you know.
Remember some of the apparel that you have in there. And I thought, oh my gosh, that looks so uncomfortable. And their shoes were just like pieces of leather, basically.
Yeah.
Where do you come with a lot of those? Are those all donated from families or?
Everything that we have in the museum has been donated to us. So we are so fortunate to be able to have the collection that we do. And I think it's because we've been building that collection since the 40s that it is what it is today, and that the Tulare County Historical Society has been involved from the beginning, and they are so connected in the community. And so they will still, if they hear about something that is looking for a home, they still will recommend people to you check out with us and see if that's something that fits with our collection and we can care for.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you go from those displays to the Main Street display, which has some old looking businesses and storefronts and vehicles in there. And well, that was, there's a dentist display, which kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies because I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the tools that they used back in the day.
Yeah, we do. We have a dentist and a doctor's office and the x-ray machine that looks like torture devices. Yeah. I'm not sure. People get kind of freaked out when they see that. And it's just, I mean, again, it's how far have we come from it? I mean, it seems like a long time ago, but maybe not even that long ago. And things are just so different. And it's great to see that history. I think it gives a certain appreciation for what we have.
Yeah, the technology has changed life a lot. And if you go to the museum, which is, again, in Mooney Grove Park, you'll realize how good it is. And when you go through and you see the Main Street, and then you walk out and you go, and that's where the jail is, kind of the outdoor village, right?
Yeah, our Pioneer Village has 9 other structures out there. So you can see 2 old-style farmhouses from the late 1800s. We have 2 schoolhouses, a log cabin that is one of the first residences of Tulare County, a record building, the first jail of Visalia. We have a whole building that has a whole bunch of wagons, freight wagons, surreys, mail wagons. And then, of course, all of our ag equipment is outside, too. And
right outside the Pioneer Village. So real quick, you were talking about some of the wagons that they have, that you have there. And there's one in particular that really jumped out and bit me. It's the one where they would take from Visalia to the giant forest.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this does not look very comfortable.
No,
not at all. I mean, now you could take the buses from Visalia up and, you know, nice ride where you cushion, you know, nice seats. But, I mean, that's pretty hardcore the way that they traveled up and down that mountain.
Oh, yeah. That would have been a rough ride for sure in that big wagon, all wood.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people could even fit in there comfortably.
I can't even imagine And that was great technology at the time, mm-hmm. compared to what they had a few years before that.
Right, right, yeah.
And with the museum covering Tulare County, a lot of the stories in one of the houses is still decked out like it was 1800s. The kitchen was the thing I think that my mom was like, oh my gosh, I could not do anything in this kitchen.
Yeah.
But it's old school. You know, uh-huh. it's in the 1900s. So with the homes, are those as 1800s with exactly what was in the homes at the time, or kind of an idea of what was going on at that time?
Most of the items in there are from that time period. They may not have been in that exact house, but mm-hmm. it is just to give people an idea of right. what it would have looked like. And every time I go in there to clean or anything like that, everything, you know, that stove, things just look so heavy. I'm wondering, yeah. how do you move any of these things here in the first place? It's a whole nother world.
That's why I'd stay there most
yeah,
times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you're coming up with the ideas of the exhibits, because you have some great displays and you have to use your creativity, what do you use as inspiration to come up with something that would be appealing to people?
Well, we try to think of maybe something that we haven't done yet, and we'll look through our collection and we try to rotate items out, because especially with clothing or archival paper, you don't want to have those permanently on display because they really should be not in the light, exposed mm-hmm. that long. And so we try to change out our displays. Maybe we'll do one every couple of months or something. We want to give people a chance to see new things.
Right.
You know, if you kept that the same the whole time, maybe people wouldn't want to
no
come
appeal.
Back.
Right.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we try to change just small things here and there. And just looking through our collection, and we might find something that, gosh, I never even saw this. And we try to build a display around that. Just what we think people would be interested in, or maybe something that you wouldn't really guess about our local history. And so that's how we just come up with those ideas.
With the World War II training mm-hmm. of the pilots, that was interesting to me. I had no idea that this was a hotbed for World War II training.
Yeah, and there's also a group that's making a documentary specifically about that right now. And so that's also something that we definitely take into account. If someone comes to us and says, hey, we're trying to highlight this history, we will want to help them, and then that will get us interested in how can we expand what we already yeah. have or get a different angle on that. So that's also helpful in creating new exhibits or just changing what we have.
This is kind of a interesting question, because I'm not sure how to really phrase it without having to explain it, but what's the newest display that you have? Because if you think about history, you think, oh, 1800s, 1900s, which sounds weird that we're saying that's old, but it kind of is. What's the latest early history that you have?
Yeah, I would say it's probably in the 1950s okay. or so. It's funny because people will, you know, want to offer something. Recently, someone wanted to donate a crib, and you know, so we ask questions, you know, well, was it used in Tulare County by your family, and how old is it? Mm-hmm. And when they said, you know, 1970, I thought, oh no, that could have been mine, that's not old enough to be in here.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
it's funny on how you determine how things are old enough to be in there or not. It's really more if it fits with the collection. If there is something, you know, maybe an example would be the military display.
Mm-hmm.
If someone were to come with something newer, we would definitely include it in there, because then you can see a whole spectrum of the timeline of how things have changed.
Right.
And that's something that's still active that people still may have. So if there's something like that, we would accept newer things if it can continue to tell the story that we're already telling with those items.
What steps do people need to go through if they do have an item that maybe would be appealing to a display there at the museum?
Usually people will just call the museum or they can email me, and we just ask them certain questions about it so that we can get more information. We really try to make sure that we have as much information as we can when we accept items, because we don't want to put something on display and just put, you know,
somebody said this is something that happened here.
You know, dress. And then we don't know, you know, who it belonged to, what did they wear it to. And so we try to get as much information as we can. And then I present those proposed donations to our museum board. And then they are the ones that ultimately vote on, is this something we can properly care for?
So there is a system.
Yeah. And most museums have that in place just to prohibit collecting duplicate items, or, you know, we don't have that much storage space or display space when you think about it, and we're continually changing out our collection. So if it's something that we feel like we can't properly care for or display, we don't want to accept that, because we don't want it to just deteriorate or something that we may never use. We want people to see their items on display.
So you can go to the website and check that out, tulare.org. You can email Amy from the website and find out more information about there. And very quickly, if maybe a teacher is listening this morning, or a history professor of some sort, and they would like to bring a class to the museum, is that a possibility?
Oh, definitely. We get a lot of school groups. Last year, we had about 65.
Oh, wow.
We get over 5,000 school kids that come through. A lot of them are third and fourth grade, because they're studying our local Native Americans, and so they know that we have that collection. We also have a theater where we can show them a video called Yokuts Then and Now. Those are about our local tribes. We also have a video that's just an overview of Tulare County history, and it's also kind of an orientation to the museum of things that people might see. So that's for all ages, that video. COS brings their gallery class every year, and a photography class that comes also. And so there's lots of ways that you can experience the museum, as far as comparing then and now, or like the gallery class, how is this set up? How would we set it up? There's lots of things to photograph for the photography class. And then the school kids, we do offer a presentation for them in the video. So we're hoping to get more of that and expand the programming so that we can continue to encourage the schools to visit.
So if you do have a group, maybe you have a church group that you'd like to take out, you can all go to TulareCountyMuseum.org. You guys are great about posting on Facebook and Instagram as well. And when you have new displays up, you always tell people that too.
Yeah, we're going to be getting a new exhibit that's a traveling exhibit, actually, in late March, and we'll have it through the end of May. And it's called We Are Not Strangers Here, and it's about the African-American community and their contributions to agriculture in the Central Valley, which that is something that really does need to be highlighted and gets overlooked. It's hard to even research some cultural groups. And so I'm so excited to have that. We're going to be having an opening reception on April 4th for that. We're not sure of the time yet, because we are working with the group that created that exhibit. So we always do post about our events or new exhibits that we're getting on our Facebook and Instagram.
And of course, again, to recap very quickly, the admission is free to get into the museum. It costs on, you said, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, October, March through October to get into the park. And then donations are accepted. If someone wanted to go above and beyond on a donation, how can they make a donation to help out the cause of Tulare County Museum?
If you're at the museum, we do have a donation box, so you can drop any change or cash that you have in there. If you're wanting to do that online, you can also go to the Tulare County Historical Society's website, which is just TulareCountyHistoricalSociety.org, and they have a donate page there that you can donate to them or us or a specific project. You can do that there.
And if you have any kind of history that you're holding on to and wondering what to do with it, stop out and talk to them, or email and set something up to, you know, maybe have a part of your history in the Tulare County Museum.
Yeah, that would be great.
Well, Amy, it's been 30 minutes. It's been a fast 30 minutes, and we've learned a lot about the Tulare County Museum. I encourage everybody to go and spend a whole afternoon there. You can't just go for an hour because there's so much to see.
Right, right.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Sure, thank you.